With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the On The Box podcast, the television podcast on the Anfield Index podcast channel. I'm your host, as usual, Mr. Gags Tandon. And this show today, well, what show we're covering, it's got a lot of power. Well, it's giving it away. And to join me in discussing power, I have the lovely Nina Kauser. How are you doing, Nin?
I'm very good, thank you. And the reason why I'm on this show is because I was eager and desperate to podcast with the guest that you're about to introduce, because we've never podded together.
Yeah, I've never podded with him either. And joining us is the host of the Oilfield Index podcast, which should be back very, very soon, I hope, Mr. Hatem. How are you doing, Hatem?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, it'll be an honour and pleasure. I haven't podded with you guys.
No, yeah. It's the first time, but you know what? That's what makes it, this channel so amazing. Yeah, putting different people together and stuff like that. It's great. So we're on this podcast to discuss an absolutely fantastic show in Power. But before we get to that, we need to really discuss, if you've not heard On The Box before, and there'll always be new listeners coming in, especially with the shows, because obviously every show has its own favourite, you know, fan base, and people might not have listened. What we do first is we cover the show in a non-spoiler way, what it's like, what we liked about it, stuff like that, without giving any storyline away. So, ladies first, Nin, go on then. What is this show like? What has it reminded you of anything?
You know what? I like this non-spoiler section because you've really got to think about not giving too much away. For me, if anyone's listening and they're thinking about a new show to watch, it kind of reminds me, like, it had that gangster film-esque, you know, like the Godfather, that kind of thing. But what I loved about this, it wasn't obviously based on the Italian culture, it was black culture, and I loved how the main character had got it all, done it all at the toppest level in terms of drugs and the gangster life, and he just wanted to turn legit. And it reminded me of Godfather Part 2 in that sense. It's a series about true friendship, long-lasting relationships, deception, violence, crime, the fancy lifestyle, all the way down to the ghetto. It's phenomenal. It captivated me straight away. Jeez. If you're into all that stuff, do it. Watch it.
Hatem, has she left anything for you?
I'm trying to come up with something.
Hey, the lead lady's hot.
Yes, Ange.
And Leila Loren, she's, and that's how you say it, actually. I've been watching a few interviews, and it's Leila instead of Leila. I thought it would be Leila, but it's Leila Loren, and she's gorgeous, isn't she? Like, she's such a, not only just, you know, her looks, but the way she talks as well. There's like a seductory type. She's a seductress. She's amazing. Like, you just want to watch. You do, though. And she's good. She's a good actress as well. She's a very, very good artist. The whole cast, though, you know, they're all quite kind of new, aren't they, Hatem? They're all kind of like, I think only Naturi Norton, who plays Tasha, she did something for, what was it? Was it a Notorious Kim film? Did she play Kim, did she? Something
yeah, she like played that. Little Kim, I think.
Yeah, that's it. And basically, Kim was pissed off at her.
Yeah.
Really badly, apparently. But yeah, so she was the only one that did something. The rest of them, Omari especially, was sought after. but not done anything like major small roles. Same with Joseph Sikora, who's Tommy. Really small roles, but yeah, go on. Anything else? Does it remind you of anything?
Well, for me, it's Sopranos meets Narcos with a hip-hop soundtrack, I think.
What about The Wire? Are you a Wire fan?
Yes, The Wire. Yeah, it's not quite as dark as The Wire in terms of the drama.
I've not seen
The Wire.
I
think because of the soundtrack. It's got a banging soundtrack. And the story, I mean, initially when I started, because I got recommended this by a friend, I thought, here we go. Is this going to be cliched? Because a lot of hip-hop dramas tend to be. Perfect example is Empire, which started off okay and is descending into like the worst cliches of hip-hop culture possible. This has avoided it. It's showing the good, the bad, and the deception, the drugs, what has Nina added. And it's got relatively unknown actors as well, actors and actresses, which is good. I mean, the guy who plays Truth, the only time I think I've seen him, but I'm not sure it's him, is, do you remember the movie, what was it called? The comic book superhero guy.
What, Kick-Ass?
Yes, Kick-Ass.
He was in Kick-Ass.
Is that him, is it?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. But it wasn't major, was it, like, you know?
No, exactly.
You know, they're all smallish roles. Like, I mean, one of the big things, if you like The Good Wife, The Good Wife, the person who wrote a lot of the best writing for that show created this. Her name's Courtney Kemp Agbo. She created Power, and it's produced, executively produced by 50 Cent. Curtis Jackson, isn't it? That's what his name is. They call him Curtis a lot. But basically, a little backstory, actually. Curtis took 2 hours to convince Omari Hardwick to get on this show. He had loads of offers, and 50 Cent just called him on the phone and said, I need to speak to you. And you know when 50 Cent called you, you're kind of like, oh, okay. You know what? I'm going to listen. And they had a chat for 2 hours, and with that, he declined all the other shows. And he went for this one just because of the levels of the character that Omari, that Ghost has, James St. Patrick. It just had so many levels, so much depth to his character that he goes, I've got to play this guy. And it's gone on, and he's become a massive star. I mean, it's funny that you mentioned The Wire and Sopranos. The guy who runs Stars, because this is on a channel, cable channel called Stars, and basically I can't remember who the president is, but he basically ran HBO until 2010, and HBO had The Sopranos and all those, The Wire and all that, wasn't it?
Sex and the City.
Yeah, but he didn't just shut up.
No, it's a great show to me. I'm just putting it out there for my females. Let's
is that
not alienate.
Was that HBO?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow, because they normally do good stuff.
Oh yes, that's it, Chris.
Be nice to Nina. She edits your pod.
I know.
Oh God, and that does take an edit. Anyway, we'll get off that point. Yeah, the CEO is Chris Albrecht. So if you've ever heard of him, guys, he's the guy who pretty much ran HBO, made it into and all these big shows, and then he's come onto this one, greenlit this, and. You know, he's basically the vice president, and he's involved as well. But it's such a brilliant show. I mean, what else can I add to this in terms of? It's got everything. If you like a bit of sex in a show, it's got it. So if you like a Game of Thrones nudity, it's got that. If you like Nina said, deception and all the, you know, it just got twists and turns at every point. Very clever writing as well. You know, it's not like. That's daft, man. Fuck this. I ain't watching that show no more.
Can I just add a little point to this? I'm sure you'll agree. I felt like every episode, every scene had a purpose. There wasn't any fillers. And I really like that for every show to be important.
Yeah.
So many times you watch a series and you're like, well, I just finished, like, for example, Prison Break. And Gags, you know how much of a struggle that was for me. I felt like I'd done
three
life sentences. Yeah, it's really hard. You know, they're long ass series, and you know, sometimes I was losing my way. Like I couldn't get motivated to finish it off, but this canned it.
I always say that a smaller show, 8 to 10 episodes, and they pack the story and they pack it up with loads of good, all of what they want to say and do, is much better than a 24 series or a 22 episode series, because they have to fill it out. They really do, and it gets really hard to watch. But these small, I mean, even though you want it to carry on, don't you? The brilliant thing about Power People, for non-spoiler, is that it's only just completed season 3, and season 4 and 5 have been okayed, like as in they've been requested. So guaranteed 2 more years of this, one this year, one next year. 50 Cent actually said in an interview that he does, when he gets involved in this type of thing, this is his first time getting into a TV series, he looks at 7 years. So this most likely will go 7 years. So it's a good one to get into, and also it's got better every year, I thought. Sometimes you peak early, but the third season was absolutely fantastic. So you're in for a treat if you do go and watch it. And also, on that, just a little bit of the stats section. The third season opener, the ratings went up 50% from the second season end, the finale, because they plugged it so much. 50 Cent went on a absolute mental push, and it's basically, it's Starz' number one show. I mean, at the end of the day, Starz doesn't really probably produce much that's amazing, but this blew everything out of the water. So it's really highly acclaimed, and it's done really well. And in New York, it's nuts. But we'll talk about you know, what people are saying in the city and stuff later, because obviously I've been watching some stuff. But let's get on with this then. So that's the end of the spoiler-free section, people. I've done a bit of stats. It's got an 8.2 on IMDb, but the first season only got like a 6 or 7. So if you think, if it's got an 8.2 as an average, the third season probably has bumped that up majorly. So, favourite characters. We'll do Hatem first this time. Hatem, is there any... I've got absolutely no... doubts who you're going to talk about here first.
It's got to be Ange.
Yeah, Angie.
She's smoking hot. She plays the role of devious as well so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you can't read her either. You don't, like, there's always that bit that when she's with Ghost, you don't trust her at all. There's always that bit where, even though she's committing to him, and she pretty much commits to him every episode, she's got a dark side, a devious side. He's got he's totally in her spell. And I don't know if she, I think we touched, she hasn't been in anything. So I'm watching her for the first time. And the way they've developed the character, she's a career woman. Mm-hmm. She knows what she wants. She doesn't like being screwed over, which she's a bit, so she's obviously career driven, and she'll play, I can't remember the guy she plays, who she works with, the gullible guy,
Greg Knox.
Yeah, she plays him like,
fiddle.
Literally every time. And he's another one in a spell.
But you think she's in Ghost's spell as well, though, a little bit? Because I think it works both ways, you know, dude. I know she only becomes devious once she gets, like, we can spoil now. Once she gets a hold of what you know Ghost is up to, and that's when she becomes devious. But before that, she's totally under his spell.
But she sees Greg as a fallback.
Oh, like, she uses him as a toy.
Exactly, and when things are going wrong with Ghost, she pops up and she starts hooking up with him. But she uses him to get what she needs. It's a shame. She plays the boss as well. It's all about catching the main guy, and she knows that she's a career woman. If she catches Lobos, the whole point of the early investigation is catch the main gangster guy. And she's driven. Nothing will stand in her way. She also would jeopardize a complete lifelong friendship to get what she wants as well, which is the Tommy and Ghost friendship. I mean, they're supposed to be brothers for life, been through a lot. She doesn't care. She was trying to get Ghost to bail on Tommy, sell him out any given moment. And you do see her most vulnerable point when Ghost gets Tommy out of prison. That was interesting because you never saw that vulnerable. She was basically screwed.
Ghost screwed her, totally.
Yeah, and she was out with revenge, and she held that card ready for him. And season 3, it comes to a conclusion.
Okay, she was in The Hangover Part 3 as a female officer. She was also in H+. She was in. The Reunion, she was in The Mentalist, she was in Lost, all one episode though, Chuck. I can't even remember her in Chuck. Ghost Whisperer, she's basically done a lot of stuff, but one episode.
Nothing heroin, yeah.
No.
Nothing that
gang
you remember.
Related, gang yeah. related, maybe. 8 episodes in gang. I've never seen that show, so. But this is her big ticket. She's going to be huge after this. And also, I'll go to that in a minute. Nin, you talk about Angie next.
I think what I really liked about Angie was it was a very, very male-dominated work scenario where she was at. And she was quite... What I liked about it is they all saw her as a bit of eye candy and she wasn't afraid to use that, but at the same time be, you know, a bit ballsy, you know, like sort of take on the men. I love that. I love the fact that she was so enigmatic, so enchanting. Even as a woman, I was drawn to her, you know? She had a lot of presence about her. You spoke about her vulnerability when she got done in the court case. I mean, for me, the other two instances where, you know, the vulnerable side really came out was when she had that little conversation with Holly and she discovered in the female toilets that he was ghost. You know, Jamie was ghost and she was crying and, you know, you could see how devastated she was. And for me, that was an indication of how much she loved him. So, you know, for me, that was a case where you actually got a bit more of a feel for who she was as a person, that she was human and she did feel stuff. Because normally she came across quite robotic and didn't care, a bit, you know, a bit devious, will do anything to get on top, really competitive, loved all those attributes about her. That was the one time where I thought she was really vulnerable. The other one was obviously in court. And
the third time when she cries at the end when they actually...
Yeah, when he walks out on her, yeah. She, and, you know, you feel for the girl, but yeah. You know, you really do get a sense of her. She's a really strong character. I cannot believe that she's not been in anything super, super major before that, because to me, she looked like a pro, like she's been in other stuff before.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, sorry, I think there's a gap for Latino actresses. I know, yeah. You know, you love J-Lo. She can't act. As great as she looks, she can't act. I mean, but the girl who plays Angie, I mean, this is... I mean, if she gets work off this, she could rise to being like a big Latino star. I mean, obviously, there's obviously bigger Latino stars in the Latino world, but I'm talking English-speaking stars. There's a big gap. I mean, there's J-Lo, and I can't really name anyone else.
I mean, Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, she's Cuban, right?
Eva Mendes. Eva Mendes is Cuban. But it's just good to see that whole like Latina, South American, Spanishy. I'm drawn to them women. I find them truly beautiful. And like you said, they're always seen as a bit of eye candy, like J-Lo. I agree, the woman can't act, but I will watch her films because I love looking at her. But this girl could act. Do you know what I mean? And that was great.
And her character, when you talk about it, she just shortcut. Might as well call her Shortcut. She should have been called Angie Shortcut, because that's all she's Angie Shortcut Valdez. She just wanted to take shortcuts to everything. Every single thing. Yeah, she just was like, no ethics, man. Like, ethics go out the window for Angie. She's like, yeah, I'll fuck him, get that. I'll fuck him, get that. And now I'm going to fuck you and get that. It was just mental. She was tapping phones. She was hacking phones. She was doing everything in this show. And what comes through all of that is that every single character in this show has shades of grey. There's no good. There's no bad. There's bad. There are bad. But the good... The people that you want to root for, they still have real dark sides, all of them. And we're going to go on to them next. But, you know, I mean, for example, 50 Cent in this, Kanan, there's no good in him. The guy's just an absolute twat. He's evil.
He's a scumbag, isn't he?
He's totally evil. And he plays it beautifully, though.
Yeah.
But we'll get to Kanan in a minute. He's the producer, so he can go last. So, Nin, we've talked about Angie. Who's your favourite character?
All right, for me it was easy, right? As listeners all know, Gags, he's trying to broaden my horizons when it comes to television series, because I've only ever watched before this Ugly Betty, Sex and the City, all and Californication. So he's got me on a few good things.
Wait, Game of Thrones, Entourage.
Yeah. Then he introduced me to Game of Thrones, Entourage, and of course Suits. I love all them. And obviously The Night Of, which obviously I discussed on a previous show. He goes, you need to watch Power. There is a character called Tommy. You will fucking love him. I was like, all right, you know, I've got nothing to do. Let's do this. I watched it and I went, the fuck is right again. Tommy is something else altogether. First of all, we're not going to talk about his character. That man has more facial expression range than me. Like, that is impossible. His face, I could just watch it all day. I love the accent. I love the brashness. I love the fact that, I tell you what I really like about this show. I love the fact that, you know, stereotypically we watch these shows and they keep the black guy in a very black culture, in the hood. You know, that's the cliche. Here you've got Ghost who's living the high life, looks the part, no one questions it. Every time Tommy ends up at that club, truth, everyone's just looking at him. He looks so out of place. I love the relationship he has with Ghost's kids. So you could tell that he's always wanting a family. He wants a family, wants to be part of something. And he kind of like, I think he's stuck with Ghost through thick and thin. I love his boldness, his brashness. He's not scared to do anything. I love his little one-liners. I loved, I know this is a spoiler bit, but just one of my favorite one-liners from him, there was two actions with Milan, both of them. And when Milan puts him and Ghost in the car and they're going to take him to where they keep the drug supply. And it's a really, really intense situation. You know, big machine guns, you know, you as a person, you'd be shitting yourself. And he looks to Milan, who's like the head of like, you know, I think the Serbian, the gangsters and, you know, the biggest drug dealer. And he looks at Milan and he goes, is it true you eat people? I just couldn't stop laughing. I was like, what a thing to say. Look where you're at. And, you know, no filter whatsoever. Love it. I adore the guy. I think, and I also like the fact that he is a bit immoral and he does fucked up shit and everyone's got a dark thing. But one thing I loved about him is the fact that he really, really frowned at Ghost for, his affair. You know, he had some morals and some principles and I love that about him. And
then he was in Prison Break.
Who the fuck was he in Prison Break?
Sarah's boyfriend. So,
who's
Sarah? I don't know. It just says Sarah's, whatever. And basically,
I remember she had a boyfriend, but I don't remember what he looked like. He got her onto drugs. There's a surprise.
That is it. Yeah. He's in Lost as the basically as a co-pilot. Oh God, there's loads here. Law and Order. Basically, I think his biggest thing, he was in Jack Reacher. He was in True Detective. Wow.
That's it, Jack Reacher. I remember him from
that. He was in Banshee.
I remember Jack Reacher.
He was in Banshee. He was in Shutter Island. And he was in My Best Friend's Wedding. Julia Roberts, 1997. How mad? Like, but this is, again, his big... you look at all of the stuff he's done. You know, he's not... Nothing that stood out, you know? Nothing at all. And this is his big one. Like you said... If you go and watch him outside of... He's from Chicago, by the way, so he's not even from New York. So he's putting on that accent, and he looks authentic. You know, he looks like he's from there. That's one really brilliant thing from him. He's you know, he's from Chicago. And if you watch him talk outside of the show, he's totally different. He's just a normal human being. He's highly strung in the show. He's always like, he's going to kill someone. I mean, Hatem, what are your thoughts on Tommy? Did you like him as much as Nina did?
If it wasn't for Ange, Tommy would be my favorite character. Like, he's awesome. Wow. He reminds me of, you know, in Luke Cage, there's a guy that plays a very similar character to what Tommy does. The one who, he's always allied with the senator and he kills, you guys have both seen Luke Cage, right?
I have, yeah, but like my memory escapes me now because I've been watching a lot of television.
There's a guy who played like pretty much almost to a T, the same sort of white guy being hip hoppy character, but Tommy just nails it while the other guy in Luke Cage doesn't. You'll know it. I mean, he's always wearing dark glasses and he kills.
Oh shit! Yes, of course he hangs around with his cousin, Dunny, the female. Yes. Yes, and he was in prison with Luke Cage. I know who you mean. I forget his name, but I know who you mean.
So similar characters, but I don't think it works in Luke Cage.
He was a bit more wooden in Luke Cage, wasn't he? A bit more standoffish. This one's really animated and in your face and, loud and aggressive.
They got the casting bang on, didn't they?
I mean, this should resurrect all their careers. I mean, of course, there's a danger of staying in one TV series so long that you get typecast. But, I mean, I love the way he's loyal. I love that car he's got as well. That car's brilliant. Brilliant that he uses that to commit all these crimes as well.
Yeah. And he still doesn't get caught, the bastard. Yeah. So that's one thing.
There's his loyalty to Holly. I found Holly in decent character at first, but like I was siding with how can I say it? I was glad when he got rid of her, when he killed her. Yeah. I was glad of that because she was jeopardizing the whole, she was getting in the way of the whole she got inside his head, which is, that was his major weakness.
It was massive. And his major weakness was not having that girl that he could connect with. You know, there would be loads of hoes over at his place and he'd have fun with people, wouldn't he? All the time. And you know, you'd see parts where there's like three or four girls just lying in his bed, you know, in this big wide apartment he's got. And there's just girls lying everywhere at the start. But then once he meets Holly, it's just Holly. It's just
Holly. Can I just say, I love the fact that he does cork with his mum.
Yeah, it's nuts. Yeah. His mum's crazy. His mum is fucking nuts. And how weird is it that he likes gingers like his mum?
He's like, this is ilk.
he's just fucked. You know?
My major fear is like, I mean, there's a wedge being driven between him and in Ghost, and the problem with that is that you can see it getting wider and wider, and it's through no fault of their own. You know that Ghost is actually being truthful and looking out for Tommy, and then Tommy's, I mean, they've got, I mean, again, I mean, I think if you've listened this far, you're willing to see it be spoiled, I guess, but there's a thing where he has to kill, I mean, his order is to save, I think he was told to save Holly, he has to kill Ghost.
Mm.
And there's a bit there when you think, is he going to do it? Is he not? And then he does himself anyway. So,
but basically, he's just like you said, the loyalty is massive for him. He's grown up with it. What they've presented it as is that these two have grown up together, and he is conflicted at times, isn't he? Because he's really frustrated. The show, I mean, let's move on to Ghost because, I mean, I love Tommy, by the way. Like I said, I think I've already covered what I wanted to say on him. He's just a phenomenal actor, I think. And he's got a role of his lifetime. And it looks like he was going to die at one point. And Ghost saves him. And I was like, thank God for that.
It wouldn't work without him. No way.
No way.
No.
And
it's a similar effect to when they were doing Breaking Bad. They were going to kill off Jesse.
Yeah, they can't kill Jesse.
Yeah, and the people loved him, Jesse, so much that he became such a popular character. And I think Tommy, like, I don't think the show works without it. It is Ghost and Tommy the same way it was Jesse and Hindenburg.
Yeah, it's got to be. There you go. And what do they want? They all want power. The whole point of the show, by the way, the name Power, is they all want to get to the top. If Angie's having sex with people because she wants to get to the top of her field, you know, we haven't even covered Tasha yet. She wants to grow. She wants to be the wife of the best, the biggest drug dealer in the land, in the world, even, you know, in New York, is what they say. Tommy wants to just keep on running the streets. He wants to keep on doing drugs, selling drugs all the time. And at one point, he's power hungry as well. He says, I'll take it over then. Because if you don't want to do it, Ghost, I'll do it. And then obviously there's Ghost. He wants his power now in a different way. And it's a good time to speak about Ghost. Basically, rather than have power as a drug dealer and a gangster, he wants to have power by having lots of nightclubs and become rich and suave and wear these beautiful suits and look really dashing. I mean, Nin, you can talk about Ghost first. I just think, I know you guys got those as your favourites, but I think the character that this guy pulls off, Omari Hardwick, I think he's going to be a legend. I mean, he's going to be massive. You probably think I'm being stupid here, but Denzel Washington bought Omari Hardwick through. That's his mentor.
And, oh, wow.
And Omari Hardwick now mentors Denzel Washington's son. He's paying him back. So his parents, he says first, and then he says the Washingtons are the ones that made me who I am. You know, I have their backing. And if you look at him, he does act a little bit like him at times, or tries to, or doesn't copy him much. He has his own style, but there are bits and pieces. Like I'm now looking back going, you know. But it's huge to have that kind of backing, isn't it? Like, it's huge to have a mentor like that. He didn't use him to get into the shows. He's done, I mean, Omari Hardwick done loads of work, but not massive work, you know. He's been going for what? Bloody hell, since 2001. But just little stuff. He's not been in anything. He was in the A team. I didn't even know that. But there's the new A team, by the way. But I think there's some new films coming out or stuff that this year and next year that he's going to be in. But I just thought the depth of what he's got to do, or his role, is harder than anyone else's, I thought, personally. But you can disagree with me, Nin, if you want.
I think what I really liked about Ghost and Jamie, the character, I'm just going to call him Ghost, it'll just be easier for me. I'm shit with names, we all know this. What I loved was, I love the fact that he portrayed two different lifestyles and he seamlessly blended them in as one. So, you know, by day and night, he was like this suave club owner who had charm, grace, elegance, looked the part, was the part. Could talk to these people, not be fazed by, you know, their high education in that world, the most powerful black man in the show, you know, it didn't bother him. And then at the same time, if he needed to pull that trigger, he was completely fearless and could do it. Love the fact that he came from the streets. He grew up with Tommy, but I felt like they evolved. It was almost like they wanted different career paths. And the thing that I found really interesting about this show and his character in certain was he desperately wanted to become legit because he wanted a good, honest living for his kids.
Yep.
You know, he wanted that. But it was the wife, which I found so strange. It was the wife that was saying, why do you want to go legit for? And I think that was the reason why I think they kind of separated, because it was a different mindset altogether.
But he wanted the reason why is the money. Did you notice the money started running out?
She just wanted the money. She did not give a shit if they all end up in prison. She just wanted the quick fix of here and now. And he was thinking about the long term, the longevity. Put his kids first all the time in that scenario. He didn't want his kids to ever know what he had to do to get to where they are. Again, in the first episode, you kind of see that he's a bit of a man of principle integrity, because they get robbed in, I think it was the first episode, by some Mexican Latino dude. I'm not going to say Mexican, I think, because I'm not sure. And Tommy and all these guys have his girlfriend at hostage, and he lets her go.
I thought that was more of a sign of weakness, because he wants to go legit, but doing that made him weak, and that burnt them, didn't it, in the end?
Well, actually, no, because they killed the guy, didn't they?
Yeah, but didn't she go and do some stuff or tell people stuff or something like that? Something happened that...
No, she. I don't think she did anything. I think he said, you're going to go and you're going to tell him when you broke up with him, because she had cousins. And if he's killed her, it would have started a big war. But he wasn't thinking about that. I just think he just saw a vulnerable woman in that state. And then there was another case where one of his women got slashed up by that girl in the high top trainers. And Tommy and Hugo, I think it was their boy, were hell-bent on just ending her, killing her, because she knows too much about the business. And he actually moved her up to admin because he wanted to give her a living, because it was the right thing to do. I love those.
The trainer woman was mental.
She was crazy, wasn't she?
Next level. But you know, there was a human element to him, and I loved that he wasn't just a cold-hearted bastard.
Yeah. Mm. What I liked about him, again, before I go to Hatem, is that he had an alter ego. He had to play two roles. There was times when he had to become the gangster. There was times when he had to become, you know, James, what is it, St. Patrick. And he basically had both of those roles to play within one show. It's quite a tough thing to do. Hatem, your thoughts on Ghost?
It's interesting because I think when the director or the writer was thinking of the character for Ghost, he borrowed a lot from The Godfather. So there's that scene where he basically kills the other drug dealers, and it kind of, you know, when he left the calling card, that reminded me of Michael Corleone at the end of Godfather 1.
The christening.
Yeah, the christening, exactly. So it was a similar sort of thing, but I can't remember where James was at the time, but it was a similar sort of thing where they all died, and it was all like a calling card, and there was a music background to it. And then again, the whole legit thing is again Michael Corleone in Godfather 3. Mm-hmm. The whole I've got to go legit. You try every time. I think Al Pacino came up with the every time I want to leave, they pull me back in. It's exactly the same thing. He was having every time he tried to step away, he got pulled back in. Mm. A lot of it had to do with 50 Cent's character. And I mean, but again, he had to keep Tasha happy, and he had to keep Tommy happy.
And Angie.
Angie, of course, every episode.
It's hilarious.
It's good. And also, I mean, you could see as well his dealings when he had to deal with the when he got ripped off by those two little kids opening the club, who basically, because he wasn't focused on the club, they pretended to be some hotshots in the Truth nightclub, and they ended up stealing a night from him.
Yep.
So that was the first time you saw Vulnerability. Anyway, he was like, I need to go legit. I can't focus on both. And then he got them back. And then also his dealings with the old guy who owned the clubs.
Yeah, he's a really good actor. He's from Flash and the Legends of Tomorrow as well.
Yeah. Oh, the old guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew I'd seen him somewhere before.
I've seen him somewhere, but I've not seen them shows, so I don't know what else he's in. But
he's
I've
in
definitely
loads.
Seen his
he's
face.
In loads. He's a really good actor, but he gets played over.
He initially had the upper hand against.
Oh, massively! He was basically a slave, wasn't he?
Yeah, basically he was like, "Do this for me. You're going to go to Miami." I mean, if somebody sends me to Miami, I wouldn't complain. But he's basically bitch for like a couple of episodes, and then. He kind of works out on there's a problem between his wife and he plays on it and he ends up with the clubs. He ends up with the club in Miami, the club in New York and the opposite. And he also gets that. I never understood that thing about the models having the party there. But again, you saw the vulnerability when there was a shooting at the nightclub as well. So he's a businessman and I'm not going to say role model, right? Because obviously there's a drugs thing, but the way he's trying to conduct that legitimate side, he's a role model to his kids, right? Because his kids obviously don't know. But then his kids start going off the wrong foot and fell under the spell of shit for brains. What's his name?
Kanan.
50 Cent.
Kanan.
And he neglects. In the end, who knows how season 4 is going to pan out, but he's in a. It's the hits. He's in his lowest point.
He has hit his lowest point. He's in jail. He looks like he's going to jail. And
Turtle can get him out. I couldn't deal with Turtle as a lawyer. By the way,
I loved it. I love Turtle as a lawyer, man.
I just couldn't handle it. I was just like, mate, you're supposed to be wearing a twisted cap, and you're basically an errand boy for Vince.
Yeah, he's going to be stopped all the time.
It's hilarious.
But he got him out of a jam, though, right? Because he spotted him in the lift, and he worked out what was going on with Ange and stuff. So yeah,
he's very good. I thought Ghost has described this role as a three-headed monster himself. So he thinks there's three parts to him. But the thing with they say with Ghost is he's actually a ghost, isn't he? He's actually in the shadows. Like, especially there's sometimes some scenes where you have no idea what he's doing, and then it all plays out towards the end of the season. How he put the role, like, for example, when he got Tommy sent to jail. Yeah, you thought, what a bastard. Yeah, but he already had a plan to get him out. He already had a plan. He's basically the way that the story goes is that he's always a step or two, maybe even three ahead of everybody in the show. Everybody. And he's only just got caught out now. At the end of season
three.
Yeah,
and he's been caught out. I mean, this I won't spoil, but he's been caught he's been caught out for like an act of sheer stupidity. Literally.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, he did everything he needed to, because I don't want to really spoil this too much at all, but he did everything he needed to do what he did.
No, spoil it. It's fine.
Okay, he basically went in. He was in the apartment. He wore his gloves. He did everything right they needed to do. And then a stupid act of, what did he do? He dropped something, didn't he?
No, and he left his fingerprint on the bloody on the window.
He dropped something, so he had to take his glove off. And then he just touched it. And I'm like, you have been Ghost for three seasons, and it's believable as well the way the police don't know who he is. A lot of shows you sit there and go, oh yeah, this is getting a bit silly now. How did they not know? But it is believable. He keeps himself in the shadows. He made one act, and it's messed it up. Well, we don't know if it's messed it up, but. Yeah. As the final credit done.
Very, very interesting. Very interesting. But yeah, he's the main man for me. So I absolutely adore this character. You've got to watch it for Ghost. He is pretty much everything. Slippery, well acted. The whole shebang. He'll be a big star in the industry, I think, going forward. Okay, next. Nin, who do you want to talk about next?
It was a bit of a small role, but I absolutely...
He's one of the best villains ever.
Thank you so much. He was absolutely off his fucking tits.
He was.
What I let Hatim talk about him, but you know, like, I kept closing my eyes, and every time he spoke, I kept thinking it was Pep Guardiola. I know it sounds really random, but watch the show. I love that scene when he's in prison, classical music was going on, and he's like sort of like just jamming to himself, like just completely nuts, completely psychopath, complete and utter psychopath. Kill him, kill that. Always saying something hideous and gross in Spanish, you know, really inappropriate language. He was vile, but I loved him.
He's amazing, and he's gay as well. He's a gay drug lord, cartel lord, sorry. Like, it's just amazing. And
he's a psychopath.
He just kills people. He just wants to kill. And his name's Enrique Murciano. And Enrique, actually, I recognize him immediately because he's done two seasons of Bloodline, which I've watched, and he was Marco Diaz in that, and he was a cop in Bloodline on Netflix. I really enjoyed that show, and he plays a totally different character. He's a cop, and no accent. Really, really. So it just shows a little bit of diversity in roles for him. But he's done two big shows for me now. So, I mean, he's pivotal, isn't he? He's basically, he's running it all. They owe him. He's putting them under loads of pressure, isn't he, Hatem? All the time in the first season. Upping the amount that he wants them to move. Is that the second? That might be the second, because they rely on Kanan, then, don't they?
Well, I mean, you can see what I mean. When they started sketching when they were saying who they need to get, he was at the top of the tree. I never thought it would be this guy. When I saw him and the way he was acting, I was thinking, right. And then, like you said, the classical music with the gay persona of it. And then his one-liners, and I mean, the way he was talking to that DEA, he had that DEA in his pocket to the point. I mean, whoever Andrew's boss was,
called him Jefe. He called him
Jefe. Yeah, basically. Yes. Unbelievable. And that was a twist. And we kind of knew there was somebody in there, but we didn't think it was him. And the way he was telling him, and he would say something, and you'd be like, he'd be saying it in a really, really camp voice.
Yes.
And you couldn't take it seriously. It's just funny.
Menacing, but funny at the same time.
He's menacing because there's one line he said, right, that I've actually, if people today, I've put this on Insta today, and a few people have contacted me and said, is everything all right? But basically, I put this quote up saying, the moment I detect disloyalty, I cut it out like a cancer. And just the way he says it, it's just hilarious, but it's a brilliant quote. You know, it's just him. He's just hilarious. And you don't want to fuck him off. If you notice, there's so many people in their group desperate to want to sit at the table. What's that guy's name? That's,
Ruiz.
Ruiz.
Ruiz is desperate, isn't he, to get on the table with Lobos. And they don't want Ruiz coming forward, but then so much shit goes on with Tommy and all that stuff that happens with Ruiz and his kid, and oh my god, it was just nuts, wasn't it? But yeah, I mean, Lobos is what
I love the fact that he has no respect or appreciation for human life.
No, he doesn't care, he just kills people.
Yeah, once I've got what I need from you, goodbye.
it's like, I think in terms of was talking about it before. I'm trying to think of, he's in the top five villains of stuff I've ever watched. He's so
convincing.
Wow, really?
I
think it's because of the shock factor. I think when you see a character and you don't realize, I mean, he's not like in terms of, it's just what I expected when he first appeared on the scene, and how he is just completely different. And that's for me why he's, I mean, I'm trying to think of who I can compare him to, but I can't. It's always a good sign. A lot of characters, like in TV shows, I'm talking about, not movies, obviously, because then Hannibal Lecter comes up there. But in terms of, I can't compare him to anyone. I can't say he's based on anyone. I can't say anybody's based on him. And for me, that's
a fresh character.
Best compliment. It's a different way of doing the villain stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's away from the traditional Bond style villain, or the pick a nationality and call him a villain sort of thing. He's so different.
He's very good. Very, very good. And even when they killed him off, right, they did such a shit job. Like, they just lost all control, didn't they? They were so desperate to get rid of him. They just left all the clues out. It's just like, oh, for fuck's sake. At that point, I was like, you boys, man, you're doing a cowboy job on this one.
Well, they flip it, like, arguing amongst themselves and letting him do a runner. I was like, you're fucking stupid. Come on.
It's like that old saying.
See, that's another shout out to the mafia way of doing it again. So the writer must have watched a lot of mafia. Again, he must have been a massive, like, Goodfellas fan. That's a execution scene in Goodfellas where you take him out to the fields with the big corn and then you just kill him and bury him. So again, that was another shout out to, well, that'll be a Scorsese shout out, but the bit where they started arguing, I was just like, oh my God, you idiot.
You just saw it coming. You saw it coming.
You're good.
And they did not do that with Milan, did they? Milan. You know what? We haven't talked, we've done so much in the show. Let's quickly talk Tasha and 50 Cent, and then we need to talk a few twists because we haven't even got there yet that were good in the show. Hatem, Tasha, what did you think of, what's her name? Is it Naturi?
I don't know her,
Naturi Norton. Yeah, Naturi Norton.
She played the same role as she did kind of in Notorious in terms of loyal, with Little Kim was loyal to Biggie, and then, he cheated on her with, Faith Evans, similar sort of role. She kind of took that sort of way of acting into Power. They kind of hid the gangster past a bit until we kind of realized that she framed 50 Cent. I keep forgetting his character, to be fair.
Kanan, yeah. Keeps Kanan. Basically, both of them, Ghost and her, framed him.
But you didn't see that till later on.
No.
She just played the loyal to the kids. She doted on Tommy. Apparently she's a good cook because Tommy used to be there.
Oh, yeah, to love her food. But then she was also dodgy, though, wasn't she?
She was the money launderer, right? It was her idea to do the money laundering for using the laundrettes. But then she also roped her friend in. What was her friend called? I can't remember her friend's name now. But she...
Lakeisha or something.
She's off something, I know, as well. Is she off the Kardashians, by any chance? Please tell me
no.
It's not.
No, she's in a load of little like films. She's in a film called Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. She has these little sidekick roles. You know, like the way she was to Tasha? She's very much like that in films.
Just if anybody knows, I don't watch The Kardashians, just in case that I get that reputation of ever watching it. So I've never watched it. But
whatever. I thought she came across as a really strong character, Tasha. She was no nonsense, you know. Nin, I mean, what did she do in the first few episodes with the guy, with the driver, with Sean?
Oh, yeah.
She was just a really bored housewife, wasn't she? Let's just be honest. Just wanted attention. It was almost like in the first few episodes, her purpose was to just look nice and be a front for...
For
Ghost, you know, be the arm candy. And, you know, they looked like they were having a really good relationship. But then obviously he started teetering away when they had that conversation about becoming legit. And she was like, why are you so stupid? Why do you want to be legit? I thought she had, you know what? I actually felt so for, because it was almost like she was ever so slightly isolated because her mum was always whispering negative bullshit in her ear, which turned out to be true. You know, let's just call it how it is. It all turned out to be true. But I felt like her mum was a constant weigh down on her. You know, she was like raising these kids by herself. That's what it came across as. He was constantly obviously doing the gangster shit, running a club. She was running house. She was obviously a very loyal person because he told her everything. And I kind of felt that even though he didn't have that, you know, that spiritual connection with her as he did with Angie, because that was his like love, his first love, if you will. But I found that he was more safest and more securest when he was with her, because they would talk about things. He was able to let his guard down around her, you know, and she accepted him fully and entirely for what he was.
Exactly. And basically with Angie, there was a bit of loads of a hidden secret, loads of lies.
He couldn't because they both had their guards up. It was a real fucked up situation in terms of a relationship. But yeah, with the kid, she was bored, just wanted attention, and she was giving so many mixed signals.
Yeah, which shows her dark side. And then also she's not exactly, you know, clean. You know, she's not a clean person. Mm-hmm. She was doing dodgy things. She was taking money out of their accounts, putting them in other places just to save when he started doing stuff.
Yeah, she was disposing his, like, bloody shirts and stuff. You know, that is a proper trusting relationship.
Yeah.
She's also very loyal as well because even despite she knew about the Anne stuff, when he needed her to play his happy wife,
she did it.
When they went on that trip, she did it without a doubt because she's thinking of the bigger picture.
And she kicked him out of the bed. It was hilarious. You go and sit and go on the sofa, mate. Get out. It was brilliant. And basically, that's how Angie finds out as well, doesn't she? She rings up the hotel and it all kicks off.
Oh, by the massage,
there. Yeah, it's just terrible. But I think she's also, like you said, with Tommy, she felt a bit betrayed because obviously Holly stole her earrings and stuff. So she felt a bit betrayed by Tommy because he backed up Holly. And obviously they got more of a sibling relationship, mm. Tommy and Tasha. They it's always a threesome, and it was always the three amigos, not threesome, sorry, in a rude way, but the three amigos. It was always Ghost, Tommy, and Tasha. It was always them three together as a unit, shared everything, apart from the 50 Cent stuff that, you mentioned Hatim. He didn't know about that, so he was shocked, but, did he even find out? I'm not sure.
I don't think they've fully explained what's happened, have they?
No.
All I know is that.
All we know, he wants revenge.
Yeah, he got arrested because of something that she did. I think somebody made a... I think complaint. Somebody... Yeah, he was in a car, wasn't he? And then somebody did an anonymous call.
She made the call, apparently.
Yeah.
But it was all planned with Ghost. So all that shit went down.
And you know what I love about Tasha as well? When she found out he was cheating, even though she was hurting and we knew she was hurting, she didn't act like a weak-ass bitch.
No, she's got pride.
I love that about her. You know, she had dignity, you know, and... And I know we're speaking about Angie and, you know, we felt bad for her. And, you know, when she was crying Riza when he walked out on her. But, you know, she actually wrecked her home.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, okay, you know what? Let's go there because this is different now. You talk about home wrecking. This is brilliant because I was watching the four of them have a conversation on a radio show today on YouTube. And this home wrecking point came up, which is what I wanted to talk to you about, infidelity and all that. And Angie really stuck to her guns about how her cat, well, Lila, whatever her name is, stuck to her guns about saying how, really? You know, because apparently she said she's been going on the streets and she's been getting like told off by people on the streets of New York. Yeah. Like, they're like, you do this. And she goes like, I really would wish people would realize that I'm not the real person. This is a role that we're playing. But she stood up for it, saying that when she met Ghost in that club, she had no idea he was married.
Yep.
And she had no idea. And she fell in love with him again whilst not knowing he was married. So how is she a homewrecker? She's been clawed in and... Surely the person that's wrecking the home is the guy that knows that he's got a home to wreck.
Can I, you know what? That's a really good point. I think society is quick. As a woman, I feel like when these situations take place, when you hear about a footballer or some famous movie star having an affair, which is also common, for anyone that, you know, even in day to day, I feel like the woman gets the brunt of it. She's the home wrecker. And I feel like the man gets an easy pass. A classic example of that of this would be something that was really in the public eye. Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, you're a home wrecker. David Beckham, Rebecca Luce got all the stick. He came out looking like a knight in shining armor. I think the women do get a lot of shit, and I think that's And I think that is society. I think people just think it's the woman.
I suppose
those
cases, though, Nin, those are very popular, famous people that you know have families, right? Right.
But
in this case, the situation, the story is that she had no inkling at all.
Absolutely, guys. But what I'm saying is, I'm just saying, just in general, a woman gets a lot of shit. Even if these people, like you said, these people are meant to be normal people. They're not celebrities at all in this drama, in this series. But Angie's walking around the streets and the actress and people are giving a shit for having an affair on screen.
Yeah. And Tasha walks around New York and people go, and the woman are like, we're with you, homie. We're with you, woman. We're with you, bitch. It's so funny. She's like, and they're both, and by the way, they're both best friends. Lila and Angie and Tasha are off screen. They knew each other before. They're really good friends. So they just laugh their heads off at all of the shit that they get, but differently. Do you get what I mean? The impact of the
show? That'll never change, though. I mean, The perception, sadly, is, it's ingrained. I'll give you an example. Two and a Half Men, the character played by Charlie Sheen, three or four girls an episode, he's seen as like, he's like seen as a player. If you've swapped Charlie Sheen and put a woman in that role, that wouldn't work. She'd be seen as a...
Classic example is like, again, you know, Charlie Sheen is seen as like a whole, you know, like, yeah, he's a player. Exactly. Samantha Jones in Sex and the City, who has a different man, you know, every 10 minutes, she's sleeping with somebody different, deemed as a whore.
Exactly, yeah. And it's a shame it's got to that, but on the devil's advocate on that one is that once she knew that he was married, she should have...
She pushed him, though. She pushed him to leave, though, didn't she? He did say he was going to leave her as well. So yeah. I'm not even, I know it's wrong, I admit it's wrong, but But the point is that she worked and she basically begged him to leave her. As soon as she found out, she was always asking, when are you leaving it? And then he moved out. When are you getting a divorce? That was the next step. And then
this is all about that Miami trip, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. Mm. So basically, Angie throughout is actually trying to get him to leave her in the end when he finds out. But she did still carry on. Fair enough. He was still with her. And in the end, he went back to her and broke her heart. But yeah, I thought that it was a really interesting discussion anyway, Nin and Hatem. I thought I'd bring that up, that what they've been going through outside, you know, in the real lives was really, really interesting. But let's move on. I think we've covered 50 Cent quickly, Hatem.
This has saved his career. He was going, he was declared for whatever the chapter thingy bankruptcy is before this. So he tried his music career, and he tried to be a boxing promoter and failed. He was going bankrupt. He plays the role perfectly, effectively plays himself, given that, you know, the history behind him and the whole, he got shot nine times. He was into the whole gangster thing, and the whole story behind 50 Cent is getting shot nine times when he was younger. He plays it perfectly. My only criticism of this is effectively rising from the dead. Because he ghost kills him, or thinks he kills him.
No, he never kills him, because they always left it. At the end of the show, they showed a door broken, and even the police come in and say, oh, it was locked from the outside, but someone broke it from the inside.
Yeah, so he was burned to death. But, I mean, he's evil. He's out for revenge. He's willing to corrupt that kid, ghost's kid. He has this weird relationship with that police woman who...
his cousin.
Yeah, his cousin and her partner.
Yeah, he was shagging her cousin with her cousin's partner. Yeah, just really strange.
So he wants to not just take over the business, he wants to, exterminate Ghost, basically. He wants to get full revenge. He'll be friends with Tommy to get rid of Ghost if he has to. He'll be friends with whoever. His main aim is to get rid of Ghost. Everything else is just pales in insignificance. He plays it well.
A clever bastard as well, in terms of how he manipulates people and he goes around it, and how he fools Ghost in the first season, doesn't he, Nin?
Yeah, he really does. I mean, for me, I don't think I could summarise that any better than what Hatem said. I think, you know, he's not loyal to anyone. He's a self-serving character. Put a bullet in his own kid's head.
Yes.
You know? I think that just tells you everything you need to know about this guy. Absolutely does not care. Doesn't care about anyone. He's all about power. Like you said, the show is called Power. This guy wants it all for himself. He almost... And there's a lot of envy and resentment towards Ghost. You really get that. When he first steps into his apartment, he goes, oh, look at your bougie-ass place, and look at your bougie place. Look at you living the high life and all this. And there's so much resentment in how he's saying it, because... this guy doesn't know nothing but the streets. And if he was ever in power, that's where he'd be the kingpin. I don't think he could make that step. And I think he resents Ghost for that, because Ghost has seamlessly made that transition. I know he gets caught up a fair few times, but he really does fit that mold. 50 wouldn't. Kanan wouldn't. And I think there's a lot of envy and a lot of jealousy and a lot of anger and resentment, and he plays it so well. Like, he's just effectively playing himself. Such a good character. I also love how he's manipulated Ghost Kid. You know, this guy knows no boundaries. That scene when he was about to pull the trigger at the back of his head, and I'm so glad Ghost Kid went, I fucking hate my dad, and then he just lowers his gun, because I actually thought that was the end of that kid.
I thought they would never kill the kid, because he wants to keep him as, you know, ransom and stuff, or get what he wants from
him. But you found out about the ransom later. When he put the gun down, he goes, I hate my dad. And then
he thought, right, I can play with this guy now.
Yeah, he goes, I'm going to ruin him by ruining his kid, because what is Ghost pride and joy? It's his kids.
Yeah, totally.
And he thought, I'm going to turn him into a little hood rat.
And he does. He's Nick's trainers and everything. And the brilliant bit was when they nicked him, the copper. She nicked him and she tested him, and she goes, nah, he passed the test. He didn't rat on you, you know, to Kanan. And he's like, yeah, we got a keeper here. So really interesting, really, really interesting how all these little scenarios played out. However, 50 Cent, I mean, a few things he said. He's really pissed off at Empire because he thinks that they nicked his idea of this show and took it to a bigger network like Fox. You know, he thinks that they tried to copy, you know, I mean, instead they made it more of a music industry thing, but the premise of it, he thinks that they nicked. So, you know, he does try and tell people straight that, you know, we came first, watch us, make sure you watch us. And, maybe if this show was on, you know, an HBO or something like that, it would have got a lot more love, I think. Mm. And that's one of the things. It's on a channel called Stars, which allows people to actually download the app in America and just watch it for free straight on the app as soon as it's out and stuff. So, really interesting. Anyway, we're nearly done, but we should talk about a couple of major twists in the show. Nin, what was one of the major twists for you?
Oh, there's so many. I felt like it was a roller coaster of twists. I think for me, one of the first twists that really sticks in my head is when Kanan is the guy that's behind the girl with the pink high tops. Did not think he was orchestrating that all the way in the cell. That really got me, the fact that he was actually doing it and he was locked up the entire time.
Yeah, and he says also that it's Roller. Isn't it? He says Roller did it.
Yeah. Yep. And he gets Ghost to kill his most loyal friend.
Yeah. One of his loyal friends, somebody he grew up with.
Yeah. That was one of my first biggest twists that I can actually remember.
Okay. Hatem, yourself?
I would say I kind of guessed that Lobos had someone in the FBI working for him. But the one I thought working for him, I didn't think it would be the big guy. I thought he was clean, to be fair. He came across as the square guy. I thought it was
Sax looked dodgy, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. I was shocked when it was him. Mm. And yeah, that's for me the biggest shock.
And the way he said it as well, the way you found out when he goes, "Yes, Hefe," on the phone, you're like, "What the hell?"
Yeah, that was, Jesus. We were like stunned. I mean, that's the thing with the show. There's so many what the hells.
Yeah.
That's what's good.
One of the biggest what the hells for me was one when Ghost was about to die and his security team helps him, saves him, even though he's told him not to, you know. You know, but when the security team turns out to be Milan, it is just your jaw drops. You're just
I didn't expect that at all.
Where did that come from? And he's been in the whole this season, you know, the whole third season he's been with him. So he knows every move. He knows everything he's doing. He's watched everything. He knows Ghost inside out. It's such a tough position. But I just was honestly gobsmacked. I was really gobsmacked with that one. That was the biggest one. And when they kill him, it's beautiful. They didn't do what they did with the Lobos. They didn't talk. They just shot him.
Actually, no. Tommy actually had a really famous quote in that. It goes, "Relax, when we kill you, I'm not going to eat you." Fucking got me again.
He's such an idiot, isn't he? He comes out with
Can I just say something about Tommy? I love the fact that whichever meeting he went to, he constantly ate.
Yeah,
he was always eating, stuffing himself. Every time he met me, like, "Nah, I'm good. I'm good.
Nah, he wouldn't eat, yeah.
That fucker really eats white meat. I'm fucked."
Yeah, it's just, I'm not eating this. It's dodgy. It's so funny.
He came up with a one-liner when he got pulled by the police, didn't he? Wasn't it something like, "What you stopped me for, officer, is a DWB, driving while black."
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious.
"Let's not drive whilst black." The black dude was saying, I was crying. It's so funny.
He's brilliant. He's he actually said, you know, he was asked, they were asked a question. I think 50 Cent was asked a question. Tommy has to say the N-word, you know, the N-word, which we shouldn't say. But, and people were asking, what did Tommy feel like when he was asked to say that in the scripts and stuff, because he didn't feel anything at all. Because basically what happened was 50 Cent would take him to the ghetto and for a month make them stay in an apartment before shooting. They would learn, they would understand, they would watch and observe all the people in the ghetto and live there for a month. It is unbelievable what they've had to do for this show, because he goes, "I want you to be like me. I want you to understand where your characters come from where it is right now." Even Angie, even though Angie didn't need to, right? Because she's not in that, you know, in that role. Those three needed to Tommy. But basically what they were trying to get across was that Tommy's grown up with in this neighborhood. They see him as their brother. You know, they see him as one of them. The color doesn't matter. He's a brethren. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I mean? It's one of them. He's just a brother. So he can say what he wants to them. It was wonderful. It was such a good, there's some really good interviews. Basically YouTube, there's some really, really good, insightful interviews on power and what they do or what they had to do to make the show. And, you know, that is what you call acting and artistry. If you have to go and spend some time in the area or the place where you need to become like that and actually live there. I love that. That's art. You know, that's when you're trying to, you know, that's Robert De Niro, that is. Levels of
shit.
Yeah,
exactly. I was going to say that, actually. I was going to say Robert De Niro's like full commitment to the role. I wish the stars of Empire would try and do that, because, I mean, it's interesting that 50 Cent says that Empire stole his idea. I mean, he would have made that better. I mean, he's got the better end of the deal, because Empire's just, I don't know if you guys watch it, it's just become an absolute parody show. It's horrible.
No, I've not seen it. I might do, but I don't think I want to now, because I want to stay loyal.
To Power. You'll hate it now you've watched Power. Like, Empire came first, like, in terms of available. I only caught Power because one of my mates was telling me, you got to watch it. Forget this Empire bullshit.
Yeah. It actually came out first, didn't it? Power 14.
Yeah, exactly.
15, yeah.
And I don't think, I mean, it might finish the current season of Empire just for the completion sake of it, but that's it. I'm not going to watch it anymore. It's just, there's no, I mean, with this, we went through each one of our favorite characters. Like, each one of us were different. And I'm sure there'll be somebody, if you ask them again, they might like Tasha. There'll be somebody who likes Kaylin. What's good about it is you can identify with so many different characters, and it's well written. And it's interesting they've gone for season 4 and 5 together. So that's good. They've got full confidence in them, in the writers. So
well, there's a story, isn't there? They need to, it shows me confidence in the story and the writing. You know, I've no doubt about the writing because of the person. I've heard so many good things about The Good Wife from Harinda and quite a few other people. I think Cam as well says to me, go and watch it. It's miles better than Suits. It's just like 9 seasons. That's the problem. I just don't have time. But she was the person whose concept this show is. She was one of the main writers of that show. So I know that, and also the cast always says that she puts their characters into brilliant positions all the time when she's talking to them, and she warns them, pre-warns them before the scripts are out, that this is the kind of thing that's going to happen. You need to start thinking about your role in this way. So, like, it's really, it feels like a family. Do you get what I mean? Like, you know, when you go and watch those interviews, it feels like a real tight-knit group of people working together. And I think you can see it on the show, to be honest, when you watch it. Someone at work told me to watch this, and he shares the same name, actually, is Gagan Deep, so he has a deep in the end. And he just said to me, mate, watch this. I bet you you binge it in a week. And I did. I binged it in less than a week. I just went mental on it and smashed the whole season out. And I just thought, wow, this is a fantastic show.
Do you know the worst thing about binging?
Yeah.
Is that I've binged season 1, season 2, season 3, and now...
After you watch it one by one?
No, and now you're waiting for... what are we now? Were we in April? I have to wait till June now to find out what happens?
Yeah.
Was the worst part about it. I was like, no!
And the episodes are one by one. They don't really... They're not on Netflix, they release one day after they come on in America.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, and it's one by one, so they don't actually put them all on in together. So it's 10 weeks, so we're going to have to watch it one by one. Having watched Suits and stuff. So, yeah, it's a tough one. But I'm just glad that it's not one of those shows that you start watching and then it's going to end. You know, and then you're gutted because you're like, fuck. I can see a real future for it. And some of the characters in the interviews are like, we just grab the scripts to make sure that we're still alive at the end. We go to the last page to see if any of us, if we're saying anything. So they're all worried. They're all worried that they might get killed off. So yeah, interesting times ahead. Anyway, any final thoughts, Nin, on the Power?
I just think it's, like you said, I love, it's so intense, there's so much going on, so many great characters. I think Hatim just touched on that. We've all got a different character that we identify with, so make of that what you will. Hatim is a slutty Latina. I'm an overexpressive white dude. Gags is a power-hungry black dude. These are the characters that we relate to. I love the diversity in it. There's so much diversity. I think one of the things I have to say about it is, like you said, Tommy thinks he's black, doesn't he? You know, he walks around thinking he's black, but, you know, we know he's a white dude, but grew up in a black neighborhood, and that was pretty tough for him. I love the fact that it kind of stayed away from you know, there wasn't so much focus on racism, which sometimes can often be a case. Do you know what I mean?
No, there wasn't. Not in this.
I think the only time I felt uneasy was there was a scene when Tommy was sat with Kate Kanan and his boys, and there was a really, really gobby lad. And he was making indirect remarks to Tommy about him being white. I mean, Kanan kills him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't like his attitude, but I think he just doesn't trust him because he's a bit of a gobshite. And another time I felt really uneasy was, it was actually, if you actually look at Ghost and his wife, they never ever encounter any racism when they're in their sort of a fancy lifestyle of the legit side. But when they go to that Stedman's house or whatever he's called, the nightclub owner, and they're all sat down at dinner and they both encounter some kind of, it was a bit uneasy. I remember the woman saying to Tasha, can I touch your hair? It's just fascinating. Like, I winced at that. Like, that made me uneasy and it made her uneasy. And you could feel that tension, the fact that, oh, your hair's fascinating. Can I just touch it? It's hair. It's her hair.
There was not Why too much of it, thankfully.
Do you know what I mean? But just that, and that's what I'm grateful for, that it was just a tiny bit, but it still like made me wince. And when he was trying to, that Stedman guy was trying to strong arm Ghost, and he was kind of making it out as all, like, I've had this, I've had the great education, I've had the fancy lifestyle, where have you come from? I'm going to take this from you. It happened the same night, and his wife was like, my husband don't respond to anyone or doesn't answer to anyone, and they just walk out. And I was like, go on, Tasha.
Yeah, she was good. I liked it. I think that those scenes were vital, to be honest, to put across how hard it's going to be for Ghost to break the barrier of getting into that market. And that's what they were showing. That was the whole point of it. I think it was an interesting part. But Hatem, any final thoughts?
I mean, I got recommended by mate. I've thanked him so many times about the show. I mean, it's great story, great characters, great soundtrack as well. I mean, although when you binge watch a show, one of the worst things about binge watching the show is you get to hear the theme tune like 30 times, I think it is in total.
But I don't care in this one.
Yeah, but I don't care. We listen to it every time.
I listen to it every day. I've got it. I've downloaded it on iTunes. It's in my car now.
And it's like...
Big Rich Town by 50 Cent. Big Fantastic. Rich Town,
yeah. It's some really good stuff on there. Like Joe's the guy on that. Do you remember Joe from back in the day? Joe does the
The lyric, the singing, of the other bits. Yeah, not the rap.
But I can't wait for June. That's basically. Yeah. And it's a shame. I might have to sign up for Netflix at this rate, because I downloaded it. Stick with that. And if it's going to be like this,
Stars. You downloaded it off Stars, people. Yes.
Yes. Legit.
Off Stars, but if it's going to be like one episode at a time, because one of the things they do with Marvel is they make all episodes available.
No, they can't do it for this one because the rights are American. So Stars has all the rights and sell them out to different parts of the world. So in the UK, Netflix is who's bought the rights. So it's out episode by episode over 10 weeks over there, and so that's exactly the same thing that happens on Netflix, one at a time.
I will seriously consider signing up for it based on that. There's no way I'm going to wait till 10 episodes of that I've done and then be able to like get it all once, just watch a week. But I mean, it's one of my favorite shows. And if it can have 5 good seasons, I'll tell you something, there's not many TV series that can do that. Even the famous and one of the greatest ever was Sopranos. Even that that lost its way slightly.
I stopped watching it season 3, dude. I couldn't get past it. Honestly, I just thought, this is boring the fuck out of me. Yeah, season 3. It slowed down so much. I just couldn't, I couldn't go back to it. I mean, I've got I bought the box set in the silver gun metal box set for Sopranos. Cause I was like, I was off work. I was like, I'm watching this now. I'm watching all 10 seasons. I think 10 seasons, is it? Something like that.
Yeah, it's a lot. So they do that thing where they split stuff, don't they?
And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the first two. And then the third, I was like, and then I never gone back. So it needs to grip me the whole way, otherwise I lose interest.
How many shows have done that, though? That's the thing. I mean,
this one has.
This one has so far. I mean, gripped. I mean, I got to... I was at work thinking of this. I was like, shit, I wonder what's going to happen next. Shit. And I'm, right, as soon as the market closes, right, fuck this, get some food, watch your show. And there's not many shows that do that. We touched on Suits. I mean, Suits has been going for 6 now, is it, or 7?
Yeah, and the last one only got good towards the end. At the start of it was terrible, I thought. So
yeah,
like you said, things lose their way. They have to try and keep something interesting.
And what Suits hasn't done is knowing sign of a good show is knowing when to stop.
Yep.
And I think I've got full confidence, writer, that when she eventually stops writing the show, it'll be an amazing ending. I don't even think it'll be a happy living after, happy live together, whatever the word is. Happy ever after, sorry.
Yeah.
It'll be an amazing ending. She's a very talented writer.
She is. She's amazing. So it's going to be good. Okay. Thank you very much, people, for that. I hope you enjoyed this show. A massive thank you to Nina and to Hatton for coming on and talking Power. You can find it if you're in the UK on Netflix. If you're in the USA, it's on Stars. Apologies if you're from anywhere else. I don't know where it's situated. You can go check online. I'm sure Google is your friend. Apart from that, we will be back very, very soon. Check out the app, check out AI TV, check out AI Audible, all these things on YouTube, on our app, on iTunes, we're everywhere. Listen, watch, enjoy. See you next time on The Box. This is a big rich town. I just come from the poet's part. Bright light, city life, I gotta make it. This is where it goes down. I just happen to come up hard. Legal or illegal, baby, I gotta. I never took a straight path nowhere. Life's full of twists and turns, bumps and bruises. I live, I learn. I'm from that city full of yellow cabs and skyscrapers. It's hard to get a start in these parts without paper. Homie, I grew up in hell, a block away from heaven. That corner ain't 15 minutes and move a 7. Pure snow, bag it, then watch it go. Occupational options, get some blow or some hoes. Shoot the ball or the strap, learn the rap or the jack. Fuck it, man, in the meantime, go ahead and pump a pack. This my Regal Royal flow, my James Bond bounce. That 007, that 62 on my count. I'm an undercover liar, I lie under the covers. Look a bitch in the eyes and tell her, baby, I love it. You're my inspiration, you're my motivation. You're the reason that I'm moving with no hesitation.
They say this is a big rich town, yeah. I just come from the poorest part. Bright light, city life, I gotta make it. This is where it goes down.
Yeah.
I just happen to come up hard. Baby, I gotta make it.
I gotta hustle through the hustle and bustle. I make a move, maneuver around the rats and wolves. I'm from the school. A hard knock, shots pop, bodies drop. Graveyard, pick a block, cause niggas want your spots. I'm tryna stack shit, then I go legit. Hollow tips, stuff I'm in the clip, case niggas trip. My cocaine endeavors, give me corporate ties. I'm supposed to lose, watch me win against the odds. All I got is my word balls and my instinct. I'm trying to make it, we already made it, my friends think. We already on top, I got a bigger plan. No more controlled substances or hand to hand. White collar visions, game changing mission. Big risk, big wins, equal bigger living. Perfect position, watch me transition. From caterpillar to butterfly in the sky.
This is a big rich town. Yeah. I just come from the poorest part. Bright light, city life, I gotta make it. This is where it goes down. Yeah, I just happen to come up hard. Illegal or illegal, baby, I gotta make it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.